26. Eulogy. The Millennium Falcon glided in quietly and slowly, the dead ball that had been Cernpadal wobbling before them, off balance, off its orbit. Leia stood beside Han on the bridge, saying nothing, allowing him this moment of solitude and reflection. And he needed it. He had spent the last days keeping himself too busy to face this inevitable moment, had tried to avoid it in the hopes that time would lessen the pain. It hadn't, not a bit. Looking down there, at the last place he had seen Chewbacca alive, Han could find no escape and no reprieve. Now he did think of his friend fully. He pictured so many of the moments he had spent with Chewie, mostly expressions on the Wookiee's face, or a particular, peculiar howl, and no specific events. The events didn't seem important. Just the inflections in Chewie's voice. The looks he gave to Han, often argumentative, always with respect and honest love. Han glanced over at Chewie's empty co-pilot seat, seeing his friend there again in his mind's eye, picturing him clearly, so vividly, and forcing it even deeper, focusing a mental image of Chewbacca so crystalline clear that he almost fostered the sudden belief that he could will the Wookiee back from the dead, that because he, Han, couldn't accept the loss, it couldn't be so. But it was, and Chewie was gone, and Chewie wasn't coming back. And those images continued. Chewie running back from the gun pod, Chewie chasing Anakin down the landing ramp on Coruscant after yet another misfiring of the repulsor coil. Chewie hoisting all three of Han's kids high into the air, not so many years ago, when they were not so little, just to prove that he could still do it. Han saw his favorite cap sitting under the co-pilot console, a cap Leia had given to him not long after the birth of the twins, emblazoned with the stitching, "Congratulations, it's a both," on the front. How many times had Chewie stolen that old and ragged cap recently, plopping it on his furry head, stretching the band? Han reached down and picked it up then and turned it over, seeing the brownish-blonde hair of his Wookiee friend plastered inside. All those memories drifting by, and always ending with the same stark realization that there would be no more of them, that the book was closed, that those hairs on the cap were the last ones Chewie would ever put there. With the typical protectiveness of a father and husband, Han's thoughts drifted to his children. He had caught them many times over the last couple of days, blinking back tears, staring off into space, and he didn't have to ask them what they were thinking about. It was worse for Jaina and Jason, he knew, and though that truth first surprised him, he came to understand it. Anakin was 15, a very personal and selfish age, and even with the added weight of guilt over Chewie's death hanging on his shoulders, the boy was too personally absorbed to fully appreciate the reality of the loss. The twins, though, had gone past that egocentric view of the universe, had a better developed sense of empathy. And so Han had gone to his kids, all three, individually, and had told them all the comforting clichés that everyone heard through their youth whenever a loved one was lost. How much emptier those words seemed to him now, coming from himself. For a moment, after each session with his mourning kids, Han wanted to be the little one again, wanted a parent or a mentor to tell him all those comforting clichés, wanted the words to come from a wiser source than he. He had that source, somewhat, in the person of the woman standing next to him, and his wonderful wife. Leia had loved Chewie as much as he had, and though she was not as often physically close to the Wookiee, and though she didn't have as many particular memories of Chewie as Han did, her grief was no less, he knew. And yet she had buried it within her, had put her own feelings back for now so that she could help Han attend to his. He knew that. "How close do you want to get?" Leia asked at length, and only then did Han tune in to the image on the screen before them and realize that Cernpadal had grown quite large. They hadn't come here to try to retrieve Chewie's body, of course. That task was beyond them, beyond anyone. Han had come here, and Leia had readily agreed to it, because he needed this moment. "What are we going to tell Chewie's family?" Han asked. "The truth," Leia said, that he died a hero. I never thought. Han began quietly, his voice breaking apart. Leia looked at him gently, allowed him the moment to compose himself. I had built this bubble around us, Han tried to explain. Around all of us. You, me, Chewie, the kids, Luke, Mara, even Lando. Heck, even the stupid droids. We were all in it, you know. In it and safe, a cozy family. Invulnerable? The ever-perceptive Leia asked. Han nodded. Nothing could hurt us. Could really hurt us, he went on. And then his voice broke up, and he just shook his head and blinked away the tears. And when that didn't work, he wiped them away and stared out at wobbling Cernpadal. He knew that Leia understood, that he didn't have to say more. And even though it made no sense, she didn't disagree. This should have, logically, happened a long, long time ago, after all. And if not to Chewie, then certainly to one of the others, Han, perhaps, most of all. They had been living on the very edge of disaster for so very long, fighting battles, literally, for decades, running from bounty hunters and assassins. Even the first time Han and Leia had met, on the Death Star of all places, and in the gallows of the place to boot, so many times, it seemed, one or more of them should have died. And yet, in a strange way, that close flirting with death had only made Han think them all the more invulnerable. They could dodge any blaster, or piggyback on the side of an asteroid, or climb out of a garbage chute, or... But not anymore. Not now. The bubble of security was gone, so suddenly, blown apart by a diving moon. Even Mara, Han said, and Leia turned back to regard him, though he continued to stare straight ahead. Her disease couldn't kill her, he went on. I knew it wouldn't. Even with the reports of those other people dying, she'd live. Because the others weren't in my bubble, and she was. Mara was. And so she'd win out. She will, Leia insisted. But Han wasn't so sure of that anymore, not by a long shot. Suddenly he got the dread feeling that Mara was indeed terminal, and the realization that those others in his bubble, most notably his kids, weren't exactly safe either. With their efforts against the aliens, Jaina, Jason, and Anakin had proven themselves worthy of the title Jedi Knight now, beyond anyone's questioning. They had moved beyond Han's control, and with or without that control, Han knew that they weren't safe anymore. The bubble was gone. The alien threat had been all but eradicated, so it seemed. But to Han Solo, the galaxy suddenly seemed a more dangerous place by far.